All right, well, Mike and I and a couple of the other local people here are taking on and have taken on a new sport in recent years, and we've really been enjoying it, and not that we've perfected it yet, but you know what, even if you see a little increase, if you see a little bit of success in any endeavor that you're involved in, you know what, it's really a really awesome thing, right?
Yes. Okay.
And, you know, I just thought it's so much fun to win, you know, and to succeed because, you know, a lot of things we do, whether they're against others or just for our own satisfaction, we really, I think, appreciate that, that we're seeing signs of improvement. And I know my heart goes through a lot of things when I watch the Olympics or other types of sporting events. When I see people succeeding, somehow I really end up identifying with them on the victory stand. You know, they're getting the crowns and this sort of thing. And it makes me think of the BEMA, what it's going to be like when we're finally at the BEMA. It's interpreted in the New Testament a few places, the judgment seat, but really what it is it's the reward places, you know, like when you have first, second, and third place in the Olympics, they're standing there and getting the medals. That's what it's going to be like in heaven, and we won't be impatient waiting. And I don't even know how that'll all work. You don't think there'll be real, real long lines, do you? And we'll just have to wait, like in certain other things. But when we go through things in life, we have to persevere and we have to kind of endure, let's say, and stand through challenging and difficult circumstances. I would say probably it's not that pleasant, but you know, God works with us, and certainly, you know, there's a lot of encouragement that we give each other and give, we see from God. God gives us a lot of encouragement and this sort of thing. And like I said, when you see a little bit of improvement, when you start to see success, it's really a blessing. And then we really have a story to tell. And so I've asked George Evans, I'm going to take George off of mute here, and I've asked George to share a little bit of his story. So here you go, George.
Thank you, Barney. Well, listening to everything Barney had to say really hits home with me. I grew up in a very large family. I'm third oldest out of 10. For some of you that may not know, my sister, Jeannie Linfelt, and Bob Linfelt. I have a fellowship in Point Loma, and I'm happy to say that I've also become a big part of that as well. But early on in my life, for me, sports, my dad raised us six boys to excel and be, you know, the best we could be in our sports endeavors. And for me, having two older brothers, you know, my goal was to be better than them. My goal is to, you know, outshine them. And in that, I would find my happiness. And, you know, what would come later on was after being successful in high school, I actually grew up playing against Bill Walton. He's 2 days older than me, both born at Mercy Hospital. I always kind of thought that was pretty cool. But he obviously went a lot further than I did, but I went on to play some college basketball. And then when I got out of playing sports, I got married at a very, very early age and started having a family. And what I realized was I was so unprepared for life. I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy. You know, then became an altered boy because I realized I had to undo a lot of the things that were done to me. And with the teachings, the practices of Catholicism. So I proceeded to go through a lot of doors. I went through I was a Unitarian. I went through Buddhism. I went through just you know, Journey, Skyline, a lot of these churches. So my point in bringing this up is that I've always been a seeker. I've always been looking for that elusive truth, that, you know, that light that we beam to, you know, in this dark time that we're living in right now. Well, my life got very dark about 4 years ago. I went to the doctor, had a little pain, and it was in my knee. And while I was there, he put the cuff on me, the blood pressure cuff, and he said, "You need to go right now to the ER. And so it's, your blood pressure is dangerous." And I had, it caught me, it blindsided me. I had no idea. I was practicing just a lot of alternative medicines. I was a massage therapist myself. I was just, what I thought I was doing was really taking care of myself. And so this started this journey. I get to the ER, and they proceed to do tests on me. But what they found was I had a bladder stone. I needed surgery on that. So, okay, here I am. I'm getting my first surgery now. After that, I started having just, you know, trips at nighttime. I would get up every hour. And so now they say, well, we're not exactly sure what's wrong with you. But I was going, I had total sleep deprivation, and I couldn't hardly function. For me, going to sleep at night was just, I didn't want to, because I knew getting up and down, it was just tormenting. So this went on for years where they couldn't quite figure it out. And I finally changed medical practices. I went to another insurance carrier. And the new ones proceeded to tell me, well, you need a surgery here, you need a surgery there. And so in the last 2 years, I've had over four surgeries. And so I'm thinking I'm doing fine after this last surgery. And I come home, and I end up with AFib. And I'm going, I had no idea what's going on, but I couldn't breathe. My pulse was in the 150s, 160s. So I go to ER, and they put the cuffs on, or the shock on me, and to get me out of AFib, the cups. I was asleep, so I really don't remember anything. And from that point on, they put a 30-day monitor on me, and at that point, they said, we need to go in right now and do an exploratory on you. And this was in March, and they said, call the scheduler. So I called the scheduler, and he said, we need, how about June? We got an opening in June. And I thought, and right out of, I mean, came right out of my heart. And I know the Lord was just saying this. He said, I said to him, I said, I could die, I could be dead by then. And he said, well, hang on a second. Obviously, I caught, you know, there was something in him that he heard from me. And he said, let me see if I can improve that. And he said, okay, how about we'll give you May 5th. And I said, I was okay with that. Then I get a call a few days later. He said, April 30th. So I had my surgery April 30th, almost 9 days, 8 days ago. And they did an exploratory, and it was a good thing, because I really only had days left. My heart was in the 30% function area. I had the lower I had a very serious tachycardia, and they proceeded to put a defibrillator in. And that was eight days ago. I was kept overnight. But while I was in this hospital, they had an older gentleman there who was really struggling at nighttime. And here I was just there watching and observing as the nurses would come in and out. And I took, you know, anything that was going on with me, I just, you know, my focus was on him. And he was wet in the bed, and the nurses would come in and change the sheets, and my heart was just, pouring out for this individual. And we had been talking during the day. He had been very successful, made a lot of money in his day, and here he was, in this condition. And I thought, life has a way of kind of getting our attention. And we can have all the worldly, all the material things in life, and believe that I'm taken care of. I'm secure in what I have. But what I realized, the awakening that I've had, is that this personal relationship, it's everything. And no matter how many prayers you say or whatever you do in the form of works, what we need is this personal relationship. So my nights have been full of speaking in tongues, talking to God. I have this for me a language that I have with He and I. And as a result of this defibrillator, they corrected something that was literally killing me. And I didn't know what to degree, but I knew it was bad. And 3 days before my surgery, it came to a time where I was totally depressed, because my blood pressure would go up to crazy numbers, and my pulse would go to 130, 140, then go back down to 70, 80, and my heart was just working in a way that was very dangerous. Never did I realize it to what degree, but my point right now is, as I was out, I had left. I couldn't, unfortunately, my wife Leslie, her trying to deal with me trying to deal with where I was at, I couldn't understand it, but I knew I was desperate for an answer from my health and my situation. So I was out, and I was just really I was dangerous. I'm a big guy, and I was just angry because no sleep and my blood pressure. So I did what the Lord said. He said, you call Barney right now. And it was, wow. As I was really just to a point where I said, Lord, I don't want this life anymore. Jesus did the suffering, but I found myself just, ready to, to go to sleep and stay asleep. And this call with this man who really understood how to talk to me. He didn't tell me, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. God loves you, we love you. And then Vicky, she got on the phone with me. And I'd been for years, like I said, my body was just, it was beat up. And we need sleep, and I wasn't getting any. I would go one time, went 3 days without sleep. And I had something called a blood sepsis, and I was in urgent care and almost ICU. And through it all, I realized that if we don't have somebody that we can call on, that we can, just have a lifeline, to someone that understands the word, someone that can give you, that counsel, that word that's going to just kind of put you back on track. And I had a history of rage episodes in my life. And, so here I was, I had done really well over the years. If anybody knew me, they go, he's the happiest guy there was. But a lot of what I did was just, it was just a facade. Inside, I was dying, and I knew it. But I would have this humor, this wit that everybody saw. But the truth of the matter was that, I was dying, and I didn't really understand how to be saved. I had quotes directed at me. I had Bible thrown at me. But for me, the understanding of a personal relationship, of just being able to talk, he's our father, we're his kids. It just finally hit me in a way that I understand it now. And my life today is such a blessing. And I also spent the last, before I retired, I spent 15 years as a special ed tech. So I worked with kids, adults that were struggling, that were in wheelchairs. I was doing, changing diapers. I never saw myself doing that. But sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we could never have imagined. But through all the pain and all the struggles and all the suffering, I have come out on the other side. And today, for instance, I was in the ER right before my surgery and went in there with AFib, and the nurse came in and she had this great wit, and together we just started laughing and we bounced off each other. And at one point someone came in and said, "Why are you having so much fun in here? This is the ER. People are sad. People are sick." And for me, God had put just this joy in me in these situations where, there's misery and just hopelessness and fear. And God had just blessed me so much that even when I got done with my surgery, I got back to my room, and the nurse came in, and I was laughing. I was carrying on. And she was laughing, and Leslie was, and I just found myself in a place where I truly could become who I am. And I'm not that guy with the records and all that stuff with the sports, but truly to understand, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And while I was there that night in that hospital bed with that man struggling, I said a prayer for him, and I realized that my ministry is just to go out and talk to people about God. And just, I don't know a lot of quotes, but I do know that He is our Heavenly Father, and if we will rely on Him, if we will go to Him, the adversary doesn't stand a chance. And where I was at in my life, the adversary was working on me, and he was overtime, because with all that sleep deprivation, I didn't know if I was coming or going a lot of times. But I know this is a little lengthier than I thought it would be, but I didn't prepare this. And I always just, when I start, I go, "God, let me know what I need to say, and I'll say it on your behalf." And this is where I'm at right now. And I hope that if there's anyone out there that's kind of feeling a little lost and worried and concerned with where they're at physically or mentally, if you can give it to God, and if you can let go and let God, He will take care of you. And I'm living proof. And so I want to just thank you for hearing me out, and God bless all of you.
That's awesome, George. I really truly do appreciate that. And, like we say in almost every fellowship now, but God.
That's right.
There's always an answer. There's always a solution. Now, tonight I did spend some time trying to put together a teaching and all that, and I didn't really know where this thing was going either. But, I think you've really said a lot, George, from the heart of God, and from somebody who's really, been through quite a few things and experienced some things and come out on the other side of it. And so I do have a song I want to play. Maybe we'll do that to kind of close things out here. But before I do, I want to make a couple of statements. Champions are people who hold out under stress and stand firm, even if they have to stand alone. Champions persevere under pressure. They wait calmly and courageously. and they resist weariness and defeat. In other words, they do not allow their circumstances to rule them. And you and I are constantly in situations where these become really true words. Because we have to stand in many different types of circumstances, many types of situations, a lot of them we've never experienced before. But I think the one thing that comes to my mind is what this song I'm going to play by Phil Wickham is all about. And it's called Battle Belongs to the Lord. I think something really, really good to remember tonight as we kind of wrap things up here. So anyway, God bless you. Thank you, George. And thank you all for joining in. We certainly do appreciate it. Love you guys. And that's the greatest thing we can do. We fight our battles on our knees with hands lifted high because the battle does belong to God. And our lives are living testimonies to all that God continues to do in his grace and mercy. So many more testimonies of victory, of great things that God is doing, will do, and continues to do. So God bless you all. We love you. And look forward to our next times together. Maybe it'll be in the heavenlies. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
All right. God bless everybody.
Thank you, George. That was amazing. Good night, family. We love you.
Good night.